You're listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabe Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby.
Pretty interesting show. Welcome to Outside the Cage. We had a fun, action-packed, and newsworthy pay-per-view event last night. I'm your host, the California Crusher, Gabriel Owens, with me as always, the Memphis Mauler, Alan Young, and the Carolina Conundrum, Brian Kilby.
That works.
Okay, sure.
It's pretty, I don't think, Kilby, you didn't see the card, right?
Oh, no.
Well, it was some good stuff.
Which promotion?
UFC.
UFC. Frank Mir.
Frank Mir just got killed like last month. He's not ready to fight.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot.
It's not like pro wrestling where they just, you know, they get the crap beat out of them, but somehow are managed to do it again the next
night. They bandage up, you know, snort some coke.
Yeah.
And they're ready to go.
Actually, we should maybe see about getting Alan Green on this, because he, maybe not right now, but he texted me in the middle of the fight last night and said that Matt Mitrione reminded him of Walkie with the red hair.
The giant Walkie. much more athletic and larger.
Yeah, that's what I said. If Walkie were remotely athletic, maybe.
Yeah. I think the guy was, you know, we make fun of him for being, you know, a shitty MMA fighter. He's a really great athlete. He actually played in the NFL.
Yeah.
They don't take this to anybody. So,
they wouldn't take Lesnar.
Yeah, one guy I was listening to said, he went from an absolutely terrible fighter, and he's improved his skill enough, now he's simply just a bad fighter. But he is very junior in the sport. Let's run it down top to bottom.
All right.
We started off with the world's worst Elvis or Johnny Cash tattoo. According to ESPN2, is from Jonesboro, Alaska.
Yes, and so am I from Jonesboro, yeah. Alaska.
According to ESPN2, yes, because they don't know their postal codes, apparently. That Arkansas, Arizona, Alaska thing still seems to elude people, but we'll forgive them this time. Yes, hometown boy for me and Alan. Came into a pretty big fight for him against hometown boy Patrick Cote.
Hometown for the card.
Well, I think, yeah. And every Canadian was treated as a hometown boy on the card, despite Canada
yeah.
quite large. You're Canadian.
It's Canada.
Yeah. It was a good fight. Actually had a pro wrestling finish. Literally, Alan Belcher finished him with a pedigree followed by a sleeper. That's the best way to describe the move. I don't know. It's like he picked him up and dropped him on his face.
That was pretty amazing.
So it's an X Factor or pedigree, something along those lines. An actual pile driver is illegal, so he kind of modified it so just to spike him on his face instead of the top of his head.
He kind of went. And he kind of just went flat, period, not landing directly on his face, but landing on this whole front of his body, including his face.
It looked like it sucked.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it hurt, yeah.
Because he didn't recover very fast from it, and then he got choked. And apparently Cote's corner was bitching that it was a legal move. It's not. You know, the ref was sitting there staring right at it.
Right.
Know, it wasn't like he was out of position. He saw how he dropped him, and he was like, yep, it's legal. And right. Choked him out. Him and his horrible Johnny Cash tattoo win. We will continue to see it unless he smartens up and gets it covered up with like a giant Black Panther or something equally tacky.
Giant Johnny Cash with chipmunk cheeks. Looks like he got it before he had biceps or something. I don't really understand what happened. But
it looks like he's waiting to grow into it. I'm not sure. Arm to get really big. And Kilby, you gotta Google that tattoo. It's awful. And I say that when I have like the world's most faded Misfits tattoo on my arm. Mine's 10 times better than his. And I can always fix mine pretty easy with just, you know, getting it color recolored. No, that's it's going to be hard to fix that thing.
It does look pretty bad. It looks like Tito Puente.
I don't know who. I mean, it took me a minute to figure out it was supposed to be Johnny Cash. And I think it's because he came out to Johnny Cash music one day. I'm like, oh, that's what the tattoo's supposed to be. speaking of overplayed entrance music, we went on to Matt Mitrione versus Kimbo Slice.
Hold on a second before we move on. That fight probably puts Alan Belcher pretty close to a title shot, since Cote was a recent challenger.
Yeah, at least in his mind, he's
probably not next in line, but he's moved up towards the top of the division anyway.
He took a giant step. He tried to play the game of you know who I'm talking about. And everyone was like, no, actually, we don't know who you're talking about. Anderson Silva. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the champ. Sure, okay, buddy. Yeah, it was like no one actually was even thinking of him being in title contention.
Yeah. So
he came off as a bit of a jerk, but not a jerk, but a bit of a, I don't know. He didn't come off very well. In his
egotistical.
I call it egotistical, but overshooting his mark there a bit.
Yeah.
He needs to be like a Damien Maia or somebody.
And then yeah. He'd
be ready for Anderson. And, you know, with a non-Black House guy at 205, Anderson may move up. So.
Right. Dana said in the post-fight press conference that he wants to see Anderson defend his belt, I think, a couple more times before he moves up, because he wants to see him clean out the division entirely, although it's arguable that he already has. But
Chael Sonnen's not really, like, I mean, I think he's great because he's just cutting some amazing promos.
Yeah. And I think it'll make for an exciting fight anyway. But
I hope he immediately takes him down and just dry humps him for 5 rounds. And, you know, people would cheer it, like it was like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah,
Chael Sonnen did nothing but just sit on top of him, do enough to win. any other fight would be booed out of the building, but that particular person.
A lot of people are about ready to see Anderson lose his belt. Overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, it would be like the Randy Couture syndrome. People love Randy so much, he doesn't actually have the most exciting fights, but as long as he's winning, we're happy.
Right.
As long as, you know, it's kind of the opposite, you know, heel babyface effect. As long as Silva would be losing, people would be happy. So, go in there, Chael, and dry hump him to death. Kimbo Slice, Matt Mitrione, Meathead from The Ultimate Fighter.
Right.
Maybe the most annoying cast member, except for maybe Titties. From last season.
Right.
I must say, Kimbo looked like he degressed as a fighter.
You know, Kimbo started out strong for the first couple of minutes. He was, you know, taking Mitrione down and being fairly dominant there for the first couple of minutes, but he gassed out real fast, and Mitrione was doing submission attempts from the bottom.
Awful submission attempts.
Well.
He had a triangle that was about 8 feet away from being successful.
And Kimbo...
No, his first triangle was actually almost on.
Yeah, but and he did Kimbo wasn't defending it very well either.
Kimbo's hard to choke out. He's been caught in quite a few chokes that you'd think, given his skill level, he'd tap to, and he just takes him. Jason or James Thompson had him in a good guillotine. he almost tapped too, and fight through it. But yeah, this is like Mitrione's game plan, just kind of weather the storm, or Timbo let him tire himself out. Mitrione obviously had a good coach telling him to pace himself. He paced himself very well. He started lighting him up. He got him really, really tired and started lighting him up with leg kicks. So, I mean, it looked like he was following a beautiful game plan. But at the end of the day, you know, neither one are high-level heavyweights.
Right.
Anybody else in the UFC probably would have finished Kimbo off in the first round. Anybody else would probably beat Mitrione in the first round. I don't know what you do with Mitrione at this point. Kimbo was cut. I'm a bit surprised about. Yes. Is there something else?
Well, after this loss, Dana said that Kimbo was probably, that was probably his last fight in the UFC, which, you know, opens up the possibility of the fight that I want to see, and if I, you know, I would be for, exactly, Kimbo goes to Strikeforce and fights Herschel Walker.
That's pretty much, as soon as the word got out, Kimbo was let go. That's pretty much what everyone said. Like, you just gave Strikeforce a beautiful main event on CBS. and I agree. That'll be huge.
It'll sell, yeah.
And it's pretty. If Kimbo catches Herschel early, it's nights out. If they make it out of the first round, it's probably a Herschel Walker's fight because obviously he's an amazingly conditioned dude.
Right.
Kimbo does not condition well.
Right.
I don't know if they're inexperienced or he just has one of those genetics that doesn't get conditioned well. Maybe because he's over-muscled.
He is very muscly.
Yeah. He carries too much. Anybody who carries too much muscle for the frame tends to gas out quickly.
Yeah.
That's
why. If he lost some weight and dropped to 205, he'd probably be better off.
He's not going to. He likes being big and muscly.
Yeah.
But that's why everyone in MMA pretty much is skinny dudes. So they're fighting, you know, if you're an optimal level fighter, you know, your body mass is at its optimal weight.
Right.
You're not carrying on excess muscle, excess fat. So everyone ends up kind of looking the same. You've got a bunch of skinny dudes who shave their heads because they don't want hair getting in the way of a fight, and they all get really bad tattoos. So they all end up looking kind of the same. Heavyweight's a little different since you don't have to weight cut, so you see colorful people like Mitrione. Did they show a preliminary after that one? Did they show the Tom Lawler fight?
They showed Sam Stout versus Jeremy Stephens next.
That was a great fight. I think I got fight of the night. It was a very good fight. I enjoyed it.
Right. It was a pretty close fight. I gave the first two rounds to Stout and the third round to Stephens. One judge gave it to Stephens. Stephens won the fight. One judge gave it to Stephens 30-27, which was, I thought,
bullshit.
Ridiculous.
Stout won the first round, no doubt. I actually had the second round even.
I gave Stephens the first two rounds and Stout the third.
Yeah, I gave Stephens first round, Stout the third, and I actually had the second round. Just to me, it looked like both had done enough.
Yeah.
I think there should be more draw rounds, and I just keep round two a draw. So I gave it the whole fight a draw on that. Based on that,
yeah.
They were 1-1-1, but very, very good fight. I believe that one won fight of the night.
Right.
I don't know. It was a good fight, but I mean, again, it just wasn't one of those fights like I got super excited about. Just it was a fight. It was good. Kind of move on in life.
It was good. It was even. Yeah.
Yeah, and the here's where they put the Lawler fight in.
Right.
Miniature Dan Severn came out, aka Filthy Tom Lawler, who dyed his hair and his mustache. At the weigh-ins, he actually was wearing the Dan Severn sweaty gray T-shirt and the black trunks. The only thing he was missing was the NWA title belt. He did all the Dan Severn poses. He tried to come out to I Am the Mountie since they were in Canada. He knew Dana would say no, so he actually apparently tried to slip a CD of the song. I know Alan has no idea what I'm talking about, but there was an old WWF wrestler, Jacques Rougeau, who used to have a character called the Mountie.
Mm-hmm.
He's song, but I'm the Mountie! And it was, it would have been awesome, but unfortunately he came out living in America. But he still came out as Dan Severn. Which, shockingly, Rogan completely no-sold during the interview, during the broadcast, even though he was calling him Dan Severn all through the weigh-ins. But I guess Dana told him to not refer to him as Dan Severn, period, on the show, because he did. You just people like wondering, like, why is Freddie Mercury fighting? But it was a, it was an awesome short fight. Filthy Tom about finished him first round. Dirksen's just a tough dude.
Right.
Yeah, survived.
Kind of a sloppy slugfest in the first round. But yeah, Lawler nearly finished him. I'm repeating what you said. And second round, Dirksen came back looking fresher and ended up with a rear naked choke.
And it was Canada's first, only win of the night, I believe. Yeah. Canada was 1-for-5. They had stacked the cards with the Canadians, and Dirksen's the only one to pull out a win. One fight they didn't show, Jason McDonald apparently got his leg broken two places.
Oh, right. I read about that. Yeah, they did not show that. I'm sure that's one of those things that they're glad that fight didn't end up on the main card, because it probably looked pretty bad.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It looked pretty bad. Did they show another prelim, or did we go right to
No, went to Koscheck Daily.
Interesting fight. These two have been talking trash. Pretty interesting in terms of the heel. If you look at the baby face, dastardly heel dynamic, these two are trying to out-heel each other. Hard to do with Koscheck, but, you know, Daly actually did probably the closest.
Well, ultimately, he got in the final punch, so to speak.
Yeah, he got dry humped for 3 rounds. This crowd hated Koscheck, which all crowds hate Koscheck anyway. I think right. The only place he would get cheered is, like, in his mom's backyard in Fresno. Even then, probably half the neighborhood would boo.
Probably.
Dude, as you said one day, just kind of a dick. He was an extra dick today, even after. He still had no one. He got sucker punched. One of the stories of the night, he got sucker punched after the fight was over by Paul right. Daly. Paul got fired, and people still hated Koscheck. He got no sympathy heat whatsoever.
Well,
so he immediately started ragging on their hockey team and the fact that he's going to beat GSP, blah, blah, blah. It was an old Bill promo, attack the local sports team. I loved it. Daly, just a couple of dickheads trying to out-dick each other. Fight itself was completely forgettable.
Well, starting out, it looked like Koscheck was going to try to stand with Daly, but that didn't last too long, and he ended up taking him down and shoving him around the cage for 3 pounds.
Oh, forgot about the phantom knee.
Oh, right.
Another reason Koscheck was hated, another wrestling move, Daly threw an illegal knee, but it didn't hit.
It brushed his hair, it looked like. But
Koscheck looked like he was shot. He was bouncing around the ring, grabbing his eye in pain. Very very old school 70s wrestler heel move.
Right. And point
from him for it. I almost took a point from Daly from it. So it's
right. The ref initially said take a point, but they went back and I guess they were looking at instant replay and realized that they didn't actually hit, so they didn't deduct the point.
I didn't even think it was official instant replay. I think, you know, Dan Mergliotta just one of those refs who realized, like, hey, I have a giant screen here I can watch the replay on. Why don't I do that?
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
I don't think any refs do that. I think they're like they're handcuffed by rules. It's like you can't watch a replay and change your decision unless it's specifically authorized. I think he just didn't care. I think he's like, I'm just going to watch it. Take it back.
Yeah.
And the score was,
That was just.
It was. He does. I mean, Daly still threw an illegal move with bad intentions. So I'm not sure if it's hard to make a judgment call on what you should do in a situation like that.
Right.
People say Koscheck should be penalized for faking it. Daly, whether he hit or not, he had intent to do right. damage. Illegal move. You know, they both should have been docked a point. I don't know. Which would make it moot, I guess, but
it'd make a point.
Yeah.
In the press conference, Koscheck said that he made a comment to Daly, and Daly responded by sucker punching him after the bell.
In the third round, you could see him talking in his ear the entire time he was dry humping him.
Right. So I'm going to guess. I'm going to say that Koscheck probably deserved that, but that doesn't make it the right, doesn't make it okay, so.
No, you don't do that. It's bad.
I'm not saying that he should have gotten away with it. No, it was completely unsportsmanlike. I'm just saying that Koscheck was kind of a dick and probably deserved it.
Oh, no, I'm not dying that either. I mean, he should have caught him back at the hotel bar or something.
When the cameras aren't rolling. Yeah, he might still have a job then.
Yeah, well, actually, no, because that's how Nick Diaz originally got fired from the UFC. Him and, was it Sanchez? I think him and Sanchez got into it at the hospital after their fight.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. It may not have been Sanchez. It was somebody Diaz fought and pretty much got him fired from UFC.
A
lot of people are saying his brother, you know, if Dana was really sticking by his guns, even though it was in a Strikeforce event, you know, his actions during the mayhem beatdown, you know, Nate Diaz was the wildest, craziest of the bunch. You know, he was right there on camera swinging away. It's like, you know, like, hey, yeah, it happened on your rival's promotion and he was a cornerman, but, you know, you should have, if you're going to stick by your rule on unsportsmanlike conduct, you should have, something should have happened to him. But probably nothing well.
No, I think Dana's pretty much said. I think he was actually defending the Diazes at that point,
which is pretty hard to do considering this is like the eighth time this has happened with them. That whole camp is, you know, Lodi. If you know, I've lived in Central California for a while. Everyone from that area is like that. I'm going to make a blanket statement on the stock area right now and say yes, that is typical of the people. But usually they're on meth. I'm pretty sure those two guys are clean, other than obviously Nick enjoys a little weed now and then, which is supposed to make you calm, from what I understand.
Well, imagine what he's like when he's not on the weed.
I know. But, you know, maybe he's training for a fight, so he can't be on weed. That's why he's all upset. But, yeah, that whole area is full of a bunch of meth heads who are don't want to fight everybody all the time, and they're constantly angry, and they look like Nick and Nate Diaz, so...
Yeah,
it's not surprising.
Well, Forbes did rank Stockton, California, as one of the, it was either the first or second most miserable city.
It is. It's kind of horrendously miserable.
Whereas Memphis was number three, so.
Yeah. That's weird, because Memphis doesn't very, I never had a problem with misery.
I was always just afraid the couple of times I've been to Memphis. Watching the homeless man wash his shirt in the, you know, sink was pretty awesome, though.
Okay.
I didn't think I was going to get stabbed.
The neighborhood I live in right now, I have so many homeless, I barely even register them anymore.
They're not people.
They're not soulless. They're like porn stars.
Just sort of zombies walking around, eating the occasional brain.
That's right. So we next up, we had another prelim, I believe.
No, it was the main event.
Main event. Okay, so we had the Irish hand grenade after the main event.
Right.
And so, yep, Lyoto Machida and MMA matches Shogun Hua after their controversial first fight.
Right.
People at Shogun winning. The best argument you could make for Lyoto for the first fight was, well, it wasn't a decisive win.
It was really close, right.
It's it's really close. You're supposed to, you know, common wisdom is there was champion or pain. It isn't on the books anyway. You judge round by round. You don't judge by, well, it's close, so I give it to the champ. There's nothing in the books that says that.
Right.
It seems common wisdom. But anyway, it doesn't matter this time because Hua killed him dead. Just beat the holy shit out of him. Leota died in the ring. It was sad.
That's about right. Yeah, Shogun was extremely aggressive.
An old school Shusei box right there.
Machida had a couple of good takedowns, but in the end, Shogun just KTFO.
Yeah, it was mad nasty. They propped up his dead body at the end. Had a giant mouth. Like, I wouldn't even call it a mouse. He had a wharf rat under his right eye, his left eye. He was beaten thoroughly and miserably.
Yeah.
Shogun's the first man to officially beat, even though, well, he will say he's beat him twice now, but he is the first man to beat Yoda. He got first. Was right with his Shogun's first championship, as he was generally considered the number one guy in Pride at 205 forever, but his best buddy Vanderlei held the belt most of the Pride's run, so he never challenged for it. And apparently now says he has no problem fighting Vanderlei. So I don't know what's up with that.
So the thought that's on my mind after that fight is now that Forrest Griffin is out there still holds a win over Shogun, which, not saying that Forrest is worthy of an immediate title shot, but if he gets through Little Nog, he might.
I'd make that fight if he beats but he's not going to. Little Nog's going to fight some nobody now, at the Vegas card at the end of the month.
Oh, that's right. Forrest got.
He got injured.
He got injured. I forgot about that.
He decided not to take this fight because he's had that injury since the first Shogun fight. So I think Forrest realized at this point in his career he needs to stop taking fights when he has bad injuries because he pretty much goes into about every fight with a major injury.
Right.
Someone told him, like, hey, you know.
That's not the way to win.
Yeah. Miss a fight if you got, you know, and everyone does it. Speaking of people who whine and make excuses about fights, Tito is now free and clear of charges.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He's moved back in with Jenna. They've made kisses made up.
What a weird relationship they must have. Weird, creepy relationship.
Yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to hear about it anymore. It's like, okay, done. Yeah.
I didn't even see any news about it after the first day it happened.
Yeah, they kissed and made up. It was over some pills. She was taking Vicodin or something, and he had told her to get off of it, and she said she was, and then he found some pills, and that's what the argument started.
Mm-hmm.
And the possibility that he shoved her, maybe she fell down. Whatever happened there, I don't know. Right. The whole thing struck me as much as Tito is Tito, I've never heard in the 15 years he's been in the MMA spotlight, we've never heard anything about him being a domestic abuser. And, you know, the whole thing just struck me, I just kind of with bullshit on it.
It seemed like it was probably blown out of proportion, out of, you know, pure emotion. Well,
wasn't that one of her movies?
We'll see. What?
Wasn't that one of her movies?
Blown out of proportion?
Yeah.
Probably.
That's a good one.
I'm sorry, I'm really pathetic.
I liked it. It was a good joke. I've seen enough of Tito on Ultimate Fighter. I only see him on TMZ and whatnot. Speaking of last week's, we had maybe the most epic dodgeball game of all time. Chuck Liddell. Chuck Liddell. Let me tell you about Chuck Liddell. You talk about professional athletes are all crazy competitive people. Chuck Liddell is maybe the most insanely competitive human being I've ever seen. I've never, ever seen a man take dodgeball games so seriously. You would, in fact, have to go back to Season 5, the epic ping pong match between Jens Pulver and BJ Penn, to find a level of intensity for such a silly game. Chuck took this game like Dana was going to shoot whoever lost out back after it was over. He was swinging these dodgeballs. He had a look of intense concentration on his face. And he beat Tito 3 games straight. Just kicked his ass.
Chuck always has a look of intense concentration on his face, though. I mean, even when he's dancing, he has a look of intense concentration on his face. That's just the shape of his face.
I mean, this was more than usual. I mean, he just the dodgeball game was epic. I don't think it quite beats the epicness of the ping pong match, because the ping pong match, at least dodgeball is slightly manly. You know, you're trying to hit somebody with balls. Ping pong is basically a children's game played on a little bitty table. And you had BJ and Jens, especially Jens. Both BJ and Jens looking like, you know, it was a hard calculus problem, and they were just going at this ping pong game. But this came close.
I don't know. I associate dodgeball more with childhood trauma than I do ping pong personally, but your mileage may vary.
I've always been a big dodgeball fan, but sure. Maybe because I was good at it and you're woefully uncoordinated and got beat up a lot in it.
Probably. Just put me against the wall and throw the balls at me and they won't stop coming.
Yeah, you're the kid I like to throw balls at. I remember you.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it for the week. Any other news you can think of?
There was the one last preliminary fight. Marcus Davis versus Jonathan Goulet.
Oh, yes. It was a good fight. I was okay with it.
Yeah, the first round was hard to judge. Davis was had Goulet in a guillotine, pretty tight, but Goulet got out of it. Goulet finished the round strong.
I have no idea how he got out of that thing either. That was on. It was he just muscled through it because he was on correctly. He squeezed the hell out of his neck,
right.
And he managed not to go out by pure, I guess, just flexing his neck muscles enough so his carotids didn't get cut off too badly, and he just rode it, which probably sucked for both of them.
Yeah, and Davis was probably pretty worn out from. His arms were probably pretty worn out, so Goulet finished the round strong. So that personally, I had a hard time judging that round. I would have given 10-9 Goulet, 10-9 Goulet just for the guillotine. But
it's hard to. They've never really given good guidelines on how they judge near submission attempts,
right,
as opposed to near knockouts. Obviously count for a lot, but near submissions don't seem to weigh much because I guess it's harder to tell how close the submission was. You know, you can't really tell how close someone was to passing out or having their arm broken,
right.
But if someone's nearly knocked out, it's pretty easy to tell usually because they're wobbly or falling down or grabbing the ref's leg.
Of course, the scoring was moot because Davis
failed
Goulet in the second round.
He cut his face up pretty bad. He was waylaying him. So the fake Irishman, again, probably never be a top contender. Anytime he gets close to anybody with real skill, he seems to get his butt kicked. But he's popular for whatever reason. They keep him around. You know, just beat up lower-level dudes. He'll probably have a job for a while.
Yeah, he puts on exciting fights. So
he does. He's an ex-boxer. He's got skills. Don't develop enough to be on a high level, but, you know, it's good enough. So, that was the card coming up. I will be going live to Rashad Rampage in Vegas at the end of the month. My little brother will also be coming with me, flying him out of the wonderful Jonesboro, Alaska area. Possibly our And I'm sure I have a good time.
Let's see. There's a Strikeforce card next weekend.
Challengers?
No. Wolverine versus Rogers.
Right, and there's like, I think.
Arlovsky versus Bigfoot.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of next month's card. What's his name? The pro wrestler guy who's going to fight. They haven't even got an opponent for him yet.
Yeah, this is a
fairly interesting. So it's going to be Showtime.
Yes.
That's fairly interesting. I think this will probably seal the deal whether Arlovsky's still a viable heavyweight.
Right.
Overeem
versus Rogers. That's first time Overeem has defended.
Oh, right, right. Just,
since he earned it, what's it been, 2 years or so ago?
And he amazingly went overseas and has been gaining him lots of magical muscle. To the point people were questioning if he's going to pass the drug test coming back in.
Right.
So, that's right. I remember that now. We shall see. Because apparently they're doing, Missouri State Athletic Commission is doing a fairly strict test on these guys. It's Olympic level.
Well, that's good.
And I think it's because of Overeem, actually.
Well,
fairly big rumor around going around what he's taking, so. And he has been ducking fighting stateside for 2 years now.
Right. It's kind of amazing that Strikeforce let him retain his title for that long without defending it.
He should have been stripped a long time ago.
Yeah, that kind of, for me, is just one indication that Strikeforce is a minor league organization, that they would.
I think them going national, they found themselves, they've gotten a little in over their heads on a national level. They're finding it a lot harder than I think they initially thought it was going to be.
Right.
But again, they have been running successfully in San Jose for years. No, he's not a fly by night guy. Coker's.
No.
All the people who try to start a number two, most people say Coker probably had the best chance. So.
Yeah. They put on a good show. I've got no complaints with them.
No, it's just it's hard to do it. You're basically trying to run with cast off talent from anything at high level is going to be cast off talent from the UFC or the handful of guys who won't work with the UFC for whatever reason. So it makes it, you can put together high level fights, but they're not going to be as many as UFC is going to have. And they're always going to be a second rate promotion just because of that. They have the money to bid these guys. And UFC is very, very smart with their contracts, too, so it's hard to snatch up guys.
Right.
Anybody's doing good and winning, they're going to want to stay with UFC because it's the premier organization. And
unless you're Fedor, in which case you don't really care what anyone thinks. You just want to promote your own little brand.
Fedor's his own weird dude, man. He's made that very clear. You know, he's really in it for his own thing.
Yeah.
You'll ever see him in the UFC, I don't know.
I doubt it.
It doesn't seem likely.
He's already mid-30s. He's probably, if he's not at his peak, I would say he's on the downslide of his career.
Yeah, although, it's hard to say because he hadn't fought any top-level guys.
Arlovsky and Tim Sylvia are both former UFC champs. If he hadn't had those two wins, he would be completely irrelevant. If he hadn't fought those two guys and won as decisively as he did, he'd probably be completely irrelevant at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're kind of finding out Tim Sylvia is a bit of a joke, more than we thought he was. An Arlovsky, great fighter, glass chin.
Right.
So, we shall see. Do a little wrestling news. Before we close it out here, the Monday Night Wars are over again. 2 weeks ago, TNA drew a .5 against the draft. They officially threw in the towel. Dumbest idea in the world. Going head-to-head with WWE on Monday nights with nothing but old 90s wrestlers.
I mean, it worked for WCW when it was old 80s wrestlers, but...
Yeah. It was still some of the same 80s wrestlers. It was Hogan, Flair, Bischoff, yeah. Nash, Hall, Waltman. I mean, yeah, you had RVD and Matt and Jeff Hardy, but it just wasn't enough. No one cared enough. We really found out what they thought was the loyal 1.1 rating that TNA always got on Thursday. They figured those guys are hardcore. They'll follow them no matter what.
No.
Did not. They would rather watch. Half of them would apparently rather watch Raw. So, yeah, miserable failure. I see a lot of house cleaning coming up in TNA's future soon because they were at least, if nothing else, breaking even to profitable, even though they've sucked. But they've lost a lot of money in the last few months. So, is the experiment's over? I don't know what to expect from TNA anymore. I only watch it because it's such a ridiculous, even by wrestling standards, it's the most ridiculous wrestling show I've ever seen. I watch it for the lulls on occasion. But, yep, they're not done, but they're going to be hiding and licking their wounds for a while. You ever watch TNA, Brian?
I haven't watched TNA in so long. When I was watching TNA, it was like Christopher Daniels and that sort of thing. Or am I thinking ROH? No, TNA. It's just... I watch so little wrestling anymore that...
Same here.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I'm a very casual MMA fan. I will watch a card if it's on, if you know... GSP or someone's fighting, I'll make a point to watch it. But I used to be a hardcore wrestling fan. I wrote for a wrestling website. I'm from the frickin' South. I live in North Carolina. You know, I've met Ric Flair. He like stops at the subway, like right across from where I work. But I just haven't cared to watch it in so long. There's a little interest in it. It's just it's not what it used to be. I mean, wrestling's always been evolving, but all the interest I had pretty much died 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it hasn't interested me in a while, and I have something, you know, grown men in their underwear fighting. I get that outlet in MMA now, and nothing to say I would never go back to pro wrestling if the product interested me again, but it's. You know, I've followed it hardcore like yourself so long, I still keep up with it just out of habit. And plus, a lot of the places I get my MMA news also cover pro wrestling, so yeah. I just kind of get it by default. But yeah, I don't, you know, I watch Raw, it's just because I'm in my bedroom for whatever reason, and it automatically TiVo's it in there, and I'll just, like, oh, Raw's on. I'll sit there and watch it. That's about it. Anything else, guys?
Nothing in the realm of MMA or wrestling, but did anyone else watch Iron Man 2?
Did not.
It's worth watching.
I might go see it tomorrow. I was trying to go with some friends, and this weekend everyone kind of fell through. But
recommend everyone watch it, and after they do, go listen to the new Soundwave special.
Soundwave.
Yeah, Chris McFeely... couple other people and I talk about Iron Man 2, and it's worth listening to, but only if you've watched the movie.
Gotcha. Alan, you see it? Or did he already leave? Since I said wrestling.
He left because the W word came up.
Gotcha. Alright, well, that's been Outside the Cage. Gabe Owens, Brian Kilby, Alan Young. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabe Owens, Alan Young, and Brian Kilby. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.